He says, because they would not receive the love of the truth of Yahweh, that they may be saved. Verse 11, for this cause, you see, it's Yahweh that's doing this. For this cause, Yahweh shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Now, do you understand that? What kind of delusions? He's going to allow these pseudo prophets and these false anointed ones and these false Christos to have these, to walk in this power and the spirit of devils. And they're going to perform miracles. They're going to be so profound that only the true remnant will know. Because if it's not done in that name, by the power of that name and that authority, it is not of Yahweh. Do you all hear me, saints? It is not difficult to understand. We have learned a lot of bad habits from our religious practices. Now what he's trying to do is teach us table manners. Come to the table and eat right. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to teach us those utensils that you eat the food with. They must be clean and sterile. He's trying to teach us the cautiousness of his dietary habit. We can't allow anything to go into our ru'ah. We've allowed every kind of trash. So we need to find ourselves cleansing ourselves. I tell you what, you work in a place where you're inhaling all kinds of toxins and toxicities. You tell me it will not have its effect on your body. You're going to get that trash out of you. That's one that I wrote the other day, and I really reproved him and rebuked him and told him, man, your biggest problem is that your mind is so twisted and convoluted. It's because you sit there, you smoke them cigarettes. It is restricting the blood to your artery. You can't think right. The blood doesn't flow properly. I say, that's the main problem, man. Get out of the house and start walking and doing something. That's your problem. It's not some devil talking to your mind. It's your mind talking to your mind. Get up, man. Stop the cigarette smoking. It's going to kill your bottom line. And I say, how can you try to tell someone what they need to do and you have no strength in your life? Shut up. And this man, when he sends offering, he sends nice ones. $200. Sure he does. But I don't take it back. And he's sitting there today listening. That's his problem. We have put ourselves in positions as our problem because we couldn't obey Yahweh. Our bodies is the dwelling place of Yahweh's power. You just don't put anything in there. He's not going to let you put hog meat in there. He doesn't want no hog meat. He doesn't eat hog meat. He wants something clean. He wants something kosher, something right. He tells you what he wants. You understand that? He tells us. And so we're going to have to do it this way or no way. And when we find ourselves doing it some other way, that's where we find ourselves in the sickness and the diseases. And every sickness, as some of these ignoramuses, they will tell you it's all demons. Scripture doesn't say that. Now, those that were cleansed of unclean spirit, those that were healed of their paralytic form, those that were healed of various type of sicknesses, they were not filled with demons. And that's just the truth. These men are ignorant today. And if you talk to some of those that are not apologists to Christianity, they would tell you a lot of this is just basically pagan forms of pagan things. They would tell you. And they would show you because you find this in every religion. That's your demon. That's your damnable, wicked, rebellious, sinful, Torah-lessness ways that has produced that thing in your life. Can I show you something in Scripture? Will you rejoice? I will. I want to read something else here. And then I want to read some of these testimonies. But you must hear this. Please hear it. Scripture says in Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 1. I want you to hear this. Devarim 29, verse 1. Yahweh speaking unto the house of Israel by his servant Moshe. He says now, these are the words of the covenant which Yahweh commanded Moshe to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he had made in Horeb. So the laws and the diction or the dictation what Yahweh commanded, he said, now this is what I made with the house of Israel. I want you to hear it. You need to understand what I say to you. And Moshe called some of Israel. He called all of Israel and said to them, you have seen all that Yahweh did before your eyes. Now you can imagine the people seeing what he had done before their eyes. Great miracles. The land of Egypt overtaken by frogs and death and flies. The water turning into blood. I believe those great feats. I believe that Yahweh did that. Why did he have to do it? Because he was dealing with the unbelieving people. So why are people looking for a sign today? Because they're adulterous and they're wicked. I have the emunah of Yahweh. I believe him. I was talking with a lady yesterday. But I certainly enjoyed the woman's spirit. She was an elderly woman. She was about 70 years old. She made a statement to me. She said, I want to tell you something. She said, you know, I was born poor, and I'll probably die poor too. She was about 70 years old. But she looked very, very nice for a woman at all. She was very professional, very kind. Her spirit was very pleasant. I just enjoyed sitting there listening to the old woman, telling me about some of her life stories. And I really enjoyed it. I would have said that for another 30 minutes. Really, I said that for about 20, 25 minutes. Just let her talk. Just listen to the old woman talk, because she had done something for us. And I'll tell you what she had done. And she had done an impeccable job. But I simply want to thank her. And I said, I'll listen to you talk. Really, I want to hear what you say. Because why? Because she's that old. She has a tremendous understanding of her profession. And she has learned it by the way of the heart knocks. And I certainly enjoyed her wisdom and her understanding. And I'm not a fool where I cannot listen to someone that has wisdom and understanding. Only a fool can't listen. An ignorant fool cannot listen to anyone. You understand? So she had a plethora of wealth of knowledge, and I wanted to listen to her. And I did. But I wasn't going to stay there all day, so I had to say, well, time to go. And I left. So they saw all that Yahweh had done, didn't they? Their eyes, their forefathers, they had seen everything that Yahweh had done. He said, in the land of Egypt and Pharaoh, and all of his servants, and all of his land. Chapter 29, verse 3, Dibarim. The great temptations which your eyes have seen, the mighty signs, the more faith, and the great miracles, the great workings, the marvelous workings of Yahweh. Verse 4, listen now, yet Yahweh has not given you a heart to what? He has not given them a heart to perceive. And eyes to what? He did not give them eyes to see. And ears to hear what? To hear to when? This day. This day. This day. Why? Why would you do that, Yahweh? I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. And your clothes are not waxing old upon you. He made them fresh every day. That they didn't want to change them. That's all right by me. You put on your best outfit. It is so pretty. And you, every time you put it on, you look good. And you say, I like that one. I got the other ones, but that one makes me look nice. And yet their clothes did not wax old. They had the freshness and the beauty of it. If that's not a miracle, man, come on. That alone ought to scare me. He said, they didn't wax old. Your shoes, man, they still look just as... But I like these shoes. That's all right, Pastor Robert. Yes, sir. This is like looking at him, man. Yes, that's all right. But that's all right there. I buy shoes. I don't even like them. After a while, I don't like them. So their clothes never wax. Oh, they never lost their brightness and their beauty. That's all right. The matter never lost its beauty and the taste. It was always fresh. It was not like the matter you ate at noon. It was not like the one you ate that morning. It was just totally different. It was not the matter you ate that morning and the evening. He only fed them twice a day, in the morning and the evening. That really should be our habit too. Morning and the evening. He kept them fed that way. Sure it is. He fed them in the morning and the evening time. That's when he fed them. Just the truth now. Don't get upset with me. That's what the book says that we think we know. He said, he's given you a heart you don't even understand that it's Yahweh. Given you eyes you don't even see. Ears you can't even understand nothing. He said, for 40 years he led you. Your clothes are not waxed old upon you. And your shoes is not waxed old upon your feet. Every time you look at them, you say, that's nice. Doesn't it feel better when you put on a new pair of shoes than when they're 2 weeks old? Come on, you saints. Come on, brothers. Just answer me. Come on, answer. Say yes. When you got a new pair of boy, your feet feel good. You just feel, even though they may be a little tight, because they're new and the look and the luster. We're so full of hypocrisy and false and phony. If it was something silly, you would answer that. He's giving you ears to hear, but we don't hear. See, there's a purpose in everything. So you put on a new pair of shoes, a new pair of tennis shoes. You don't want them to get dirty. You don't want nobody getting close to them. Say what you will. You said to get a new pair of tennis shoes, you're not going to walk in them, but you put them on, you make you feel good, you put on a nice dress to match it. Your brother got a new pair of tennis shoes on, you put on a nice pair of slacks to go along with it. Come on. It makes you feel a little different, doesn't it? And yet that's what they had every single day, they refreshed every day. Man, boy, this sure look good. Boy, I sure feel good today. What? Hey, clothes make you feel good at times, don't they? little nice outfit. You say, man, this feels good. I like this. You save your best wear for that day. We're full of hypocrisy. You understand that? We're so full of it. We're so full of bush. Hulk bush. You get some real stuff in it. And you felt good that day. You want to make sure physically you look your best. And every day he kept them. Then they looked and said, man, I sure look good. Man, this is all right. What about that, honey? You like that thing? Man, you had on that yesterday. I know it, but look at it. Never wax old. That's all right by me. Didn't get stocky. Do you understand that? Didn't get stocky. Well, they didn't do no work. Well, sure they did work, but it did get stocky. It did get stocky. This will get stocky. When I leave here today, it'll be stocky. You understand? You see white film around there because I'm perspiring. Wet down here. I got on a form of a t-shirt to kind of draw the perspiration away from my body so it don't make me itch. You understand? And so this will get stocky. But yet they didn't get stocky. They did not have Michelin. And there's nothing like putting on something that's stonky, is it? And then you would try to mask that with something else to make it even more stonky. Yeah, use some perfume. You ever done that one? Huh? You wouldn't put on a frock that sister's worn and grandmama's worn. And you want to make sure because you look your best in that, honey. And when you get it back, it's stonky. It's a little stonky. But that's already stonky, but I sure want to wear it. Because I sure look good in that one. You all know what I'm talking about, hypocrites. And so you put that bad boy on and you... It's got a little stunkiness to it. So it stunk a little bit. And so what you do is you get some of that, some other stunk stuff, and you go, skit, skit, skit. You put it on the way with it, and then it messes with that stunkiness, and you show no stunk, stunk. You should have been out there in the world, you know what I'm talking about. All right. And yet their clothing never had that stunkiness. Take the shoes off, and no athletic feet. That's all right, the socks. That's all right by me. They didn't wax old. They didn't wax old. He kept fresh. He never. That's how he is. He's fresh every second. He's always fresh. He's always, his word is always fresh. I don't care what you say, he's always fresh. You look like a fruit head and a bunny rabbit because his word, the life of his word is not in you. So that's why you look ignorant. That's why you act like a bone fruit head. Some of you all. Like ignorant. I don't take one word back. That's bold preacher. I know it's bold. Yahweh was bold too. Hallelujah. He's my strength. The sureness of his word is my strength. He said you didn't even understand the great miracles that Yahweh did. He led you 40 years. Your shoes did not get old, your feet. He said you have not eaten bread. Neither have you drink wine or strong drink. That you might know that I am Yahweh, your Abba. He said the way this came, it wasn't about some disillusion. He said, I made known who I was to you. This doesn't come by some disillusion. See, religion has not made known whom Yahweh is to us. And he says in the ninth verse of the same chapter, I want to drop down for expedience. He said, keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them that you may prosper in all that you do. He said, do what I tell you, and you may prosper in all that you do. Everything you do, you may prosper. Is that valid today? Now, these T.D. Jakes and these Miracle Healers would take that, but they will not tell the people what constitute that mighty power of prosperity. Or the fullness of Yahweh, they won't tell them that. They will not tell them that. You must keep his Torah truth, brothers and sisters. And this is Torah, what he's teaching us here. His principle of living, his way to live. He teaches us how to live with each other. How to enjoy each other. How to bless each other. He teaches us that. How not to be selfish with each other. That's what Torah is. These are the principles that guide his Torah, his Mitzvot. But Torah teaches us everything about life. Everything. And that is the truth. Yahweh said, all of my miracles I did, it still caused you to sin. Did they sin after that? Sure they did. Were they rebellious? Sure they were. And so Yahweh says, because of my remnant and my seed, I will cause their ear to hear, only their, and their mind to perceive and understand. This religious perverted world doesn't understand nothing. Now one thing in all, there's a revelation of Yahweh's truth. Because these are pseudo prophets and pseudo preachers. Yahweh's name is not Jesus. It is a lot from hell. The Son came in the Abba's name. The Abba did not come in the Son's name. He came in the Abba's name. And that is a damnable lie of hell. I don't care how I've preached it in the past and how we received it. It is a lie for the pits of hell. That is not His name. You were wrong. Well, absolutely I was wrong. And so were you. So were we in the same ship? Sure we were. And we're sailing on to the kingdom. I'm sailing on in the truth way now. Hallelujah way. I said to Sister Horn one day, I was talking to her about something. She said, that's all right. We hook up one place and that's in the Word. We hook up there. Don't worry about the other things. We hook up in the Word. I said, I like that. No, I want you to say it like that, Sister Horn. No, we hook up. I like that part. We hook up. See, in our days, you have to understand that. We're going to hook up, all right? So we hook up in the Word. We got one connection. Yeah, that's one connection. And I want that connection. You understand? I want the connection of truth. I don't want to do this in its vein. And I will be a fool to say some of the things I say because it's not the basis of what theology and what Christendom teaches us today. What Islam or what the Muslims say. Because they say, Allah Akbar, God is great. Who is He? What is His name? Shaitan is great. He called Him that. Great, that old serpent, he thinks using that expression toward Him. His power is great. Say what you want to, but that's what the book that they say they know says that. Brothers and sisters, I do not discount the miracle power, the more faith of Yahweh. I do not discount that. But I do discount this trash that these men that say that they are performing by the power of Yahweh. They're performing by the power of the God of this world. It is not by the hand of Yahweh. Period. Yahweh said, I would allow them. I would send them strong delusions because they will not believe the truth. I want to show something profoundly here. I want to move on because I want to finish this today. There's much more of this. I'm going to take my time with it, whether you forbear or not. I'm going to teach this. If it takes me 10 weeks, I'm going to teach it. You understand? This I am going to preach or teach. One form, I'm going to do it. And I'm not going to be scuttlebuttled by you and your little childish, immature ways. There are some of you that sit here that think that you cannot be spoken to. And I watched the other day, this immature generation. I want to tell you, parents, your sons, your daughters, I don't care who you are. If I have to say something to you, your husband, your wife, when it interferes with this work here, I will deal with you. I don't care if you don't like it. I don't care if your daughter, your son, your husband, your wife, it makes no difference at all. And I don't care who you will get on your side to strengthen you. It makes no difference. I want you to know that because there's no one here that is beyond being spoken to or shown their corrupt ways. And if you think I'm not going to do that, you're wrong. I will never allow any of you off the top of my hands to do that. And I'm not going to leave because you're trying to do that. You will leave, but I will not. But the Charles and I were talking the other day. They were saying in Houston, you can tell the folks from New Orleans. He said they're crazy. Their attitudes. That's the spirit today. Because they're being controlled by hell. Now forget what Evangel Hartsfield said. These children are at birth and this generation. You don't want to believe that. They're being powered by darkness. And that is the truth. And so I'm going to teach this. So you're not going to remove me away from it. I don't care how nutty you look. I don't care how you look with this distant, foreign, strange look. It makes no difference at all. Look at what Scripture says in Malachim. Second Kings chapter 5. I want to close with this. I want to read a few things, but this is vital here. I want you to hear this. So the power of Yahweh has not just began, or did not begin with Moshe. We can see the chronological sequence through Scripture. And in this teaching, I will show you that in Scripture. It says in 2 Kings, verse 5, 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1. Listen to this. It says, now Naaman, that's a beautiful name, isn't it? It actually means a very pleasant one, a pleasant place. That's why I say to you parents, we have given our children names that we don't even know. We have given them names that have opened up a cauldron of darkness from hell, and that's what has overtaken them. And that's why these parents and many in the ethical races, they have made up these crazy Shaboko Reka, Shebeka Baka. And they don't even know what it is because it is a strange power of darkness. And we see these strange spirits open up on their children and sons and daughters now. And that's the truth. But the name Naaman means pleasant unto Yahweh. It must have been. Look at this. He said, now Naaman, captain of the host, he was the commanding chief, like President Bush. He was captain of the host of the king of Syria. They called him, he was what?
Great.
Now do you hear that, saints? He was a great man now. But he was leopard. Hear this now. He was a great man with his master, and he was honorable. Why? Why was he honorable before his master? Why was he great? Look what it says in the next. Look what it says in that verse. Because who? Who does it say? Because who? Because by him Yahweh had what? Given deliverance unto who? He had brought deliverance unto Syria by the hand of Naaman. Yahweh honored him. He had brought deliverance unto Syria by him. He was also a mighty man. He was a man of great valor. But he was what? He was a leper. He had leprosy. Leprosy. He was unclean. And the Syrians had gone out, they had gone on a raid, and they had brought away captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid, a little simple sister. And she waited on Naaman's wife. They had found a little sister. She must have had a beautiful little spirit. He said, don't hurt her. Take her. I like her. He said, so let's bring her back to Naaman's wife. She will like her. Someone that can help her with him. You understand, the man was a leopard. But he was the captain of the Syrian army. That's all right there. Only Yahweh can do that. Only Yahweh can do that. He brought deliverance by leopards. And by the same leprosy of this unclean thing that we have come through, he had brought deliverance to. Do you hear me? It says that she was a little maid. And one day she was talking to her mistress, Naaman's wife. She said, I wish my master, who were with the prophet that is in Samaria. She said, if he was with that prophet, he would recover. I wish he would just go see him, what she was saying. She said, that's a prophet, not a pseudo. She said, there's a prophet there. And if he would go to him, he would recover. And so the word got back to Naaman, and there was a letter sent to the king of Israel. You know the story. I'm not going to go through all those verses. And so when Elijah heard of the message, he sent word to the king of Israel. He did that. And so in the 8th verse of the same chapter, and it was so when Elisha, the man of Yahweh, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, and he thought that Syria wanted to pick on him. So he said, oh, come on, man. Why would you do this to me? Why would you ask me something like this? And he sent to the king saying, wherefore have you rent your clothes? Why have you done that, king? He said, let him come now to me. Why have you rent your clothes? He asked that question. Why have the king rent his clothes? Did I miss it? What's the next verse in that one? Verse 9. What it says in verse 9? Read that for me. Okay, I got that. It says, So Naaman came, he came with his horses and with his chariots, and he stood at the door of the house of Elisha. He stood at his house. You understand? And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, go and wash in Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall again, it shall come clean to you, and you shall be cleaned. Yeah. Now that word Elisha, we know what that means. We ought to. It simply only means one is salvation, Yahweh's salvation. And out of his bosom came the Yahshak of man, Yahshua. Yeah. And that's all right by me. He said, you go and you wash in the river of Jordan. You dip 7 times. And Naaman was angry. He got upset. And he went away and said, behold, I thought he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of Yahweh, his Abba, and strike his hands over the place, and I recover from leprosy. You see, that's why people are looking for that today. You see, even the mindset of Naaman. A wicked and adulterous generation. Scripture, it expressed everything that transpired in the nations and the generations. So this is the way he expected it to come. See, people say, well, I'm sick and I need healing. They expect it to come that way. When Yahweh, and believe me, these folks are what they call, quote, these pseudo-healings, they're not serving Yahweh. They go back to the way of the dogs, just like the 9 leopards went back. They're not serving Yahweh. So Naaman was wroth. In verse 13 of the same chapter, I'm going to skip a few verses. And his servant, you know, he had to be careful. He came near and spoke to him. And he said, my Avad, mighty one. If the prophet had bid you to do some great thing, would you have not done it? If he had said that you, if you go overtake the Jebusites, would you have not done that? He said, how much rather than that? What he said to you, wash and be clean. That ain't hard. That's easy, Master. Just try it. He didn't give me anything hard. He just gave me something simple to do. Just wash and be clean. Then went down, he downed, and he dipped himself 7 times in Jordan. According, listen, as the saying of the man of Yahweh. And his flesh came again like the flesh of a little child. And he was cleansed. He was cleansed. He offered him money and everything. That's what these dogs are getting today. They've been here. They get rich. Hundreds of thousands and tens of thousands. Benny Hinn prayed for me. The preacher prayed for me. And yet Naaman said, no, Bissy, you don't buy with money. You know, Elisha said, no, you can't do that. I don't want it. Yahweh gave me this authority. That's what they do. Open up these whole houses. They would come by the thousands. They would come from every state in the United States looking for deliverance from a demon when they need to get on their wicked faces. Get delivered, get saved. They're not saved. They're not born again what it is. They're not conditions of Yahweh, the children of hell. It says in the 25th verse, I want to read this. Elisha, I will not take their gifts. But Gehazi, that little corrupt one, he thought he could get by. And that's what we think sometimes, don't we? These religious perverts thinking they're getting by, but they're not. He says in verse 25, but he went in and he stood before his master, Gehazi, and Elisha said to him, where you come for a man, Gehazi? And he said, your servant went nowhere, lied. He said, I didn't go anywhere. And he said to him, went not my heart with you. What you did was wrong, man. I don't bless you for that. When the man turned again from his chariot to meet you, he said, it is a time. Is it a time to receive money? Is it a time to receive money? Are we in a time whereby men should be receiving money if it's a gift of Yahweh? He's freely give, and they get rich on that. Ben-Hinn is rich. T.D. Jakes, all these men. And they all will tell you there are signs and wonders and miracles following them. Sure it is. That's what they tell you. He said, and to receive garments and olive yards and vineyard and sheep and oxen and men servant and maid servant, you receive all this? He said, I want to tell you something, man. The leprosy, therefore, of Naaman shall cleave to you, and you and your seed forever. He didn't lie. And the Gehazi is today, that's leprosy, that uncleanliness, that filthiness of their flesh, it cleaves to them. You can see them, you can spot them out because they're full of leprosy. Their wickedness, their attitudes, their corruption. They're vile. They're full of stench. Can I tell you something? I want to read something too. He said, and he went out from his presence white as snow. Elder Martin and I was listening this morning. I turned on R.G. Stair. What a corrupt, vile thing he is. Said the people up testifying. So Sandy got. Of course, she would not say that Yahweh sent me, or her God sent her to man of Yahweh, Pastor Rob. But it doesn't bother me. I don't care. But this is what she said. I said, I'm glad you was here to hear this, Elder. But I thank God, the Lord God, that he sent me to this prophet. I laughed at it because I thought it was so ignorant and stupid. That's a vile, pseudo, vile man of hell. Do you understand that? She said, they're back in the world. They worldly, they're lost, and they're full of evil, and they're full of bitterness. Because I will not accept that child of hell down there, R.G.'s there, I will not accept him. And I hope someone is listening today to convey this to him. He's a pervert of darkness. He's a pseudo-prophet. He's false. They're twisted, their minds, they don't know Yahweh. And I say that to all of you, whether you like it or not. Twisted pervert. Tell Stella, let me have 3 days down there. He wouldn't do that. Rip that whole house to pieces. I would. He's not going to do that. And I said that with Elder Martin. I was amazed at what she said. I had to laugh because I thought it was very funny. You know. You're not Elder Martin. I said, you hear that, brother? You hear the twistiness of their minds? You reject his name. That's his only authority. That's just like a wife rejecting the name of her husband. It shows your submissiveness by keeping his name. We are the family of Yahweh. We're in the earth and we have his name. There was a young man that wrote me yesterday and he had told me some of his exploits. And I rebuked him viciously. And I did it with a tremendous rebuke. I did. He wrote me back and said, thank you, Pastor Roberts. I said, even the name that you have, what does it mean? You act like a beast, a dog. I said, Yahweh didn't make us dogs and beasts. He made us to bring forth his honor and to esteem him. And this wicked world is afraid to say it. Your sons and daughters are going to die in their wickedness. They reject Yahweh. They're going to die. I don't care what you think. They're going to die in their wickedness. Self-righteous Jezebel. That's what she is. I don't take it back. I want to read a little of this before I close. I want you all to hear this. Hallelujah. Why? I want you all to hear this. Listen. Pay attention to. I want you all to hear this. Listen to this. These are testimonies. This is written. There's a book written by Kenneth L. Woodward. He explained why so many people believe in miracles. Do you all hear that? Now I want to read this. Quote, a decade ago, at the age of 12 years old, Bernadette McKenzie found that she could no longer stand upright. Even after 3 operations, she suffered from a teetered spine cord, a rare congenital condition caused constraint, constant pain. The nuns at her school in the suburban Philadelphia began a series of prayer, listen now, seeking the intercession of their dead founder, Mother Frances de Sales Avant, whom they regarded as a saint. On the 4th day, Bernadette herself kneeled by her bed, telling God that if this was to be her life, she would accept it. But she wanted to know a sign. Give me a sign. Is this not a wicked generation? She said, give me a sign. If she were to walk again, she pleaded. Let her favorite song, Forever Young Now, play. And it played next on the radio. And it did. She immediately jumped up and ran downstairs to tell her family. Bernadette did not even notice that her physical symptoms had disappeared. Sometime, something her doctor says is medically inexplainable. Now, she went back to her doctor. He says that, I don't even know how this happened. But she recovered now, praying to a dead being. I believe it. Her recovery is currently being evaluated by the Vatican as a possible miracle. So the Vatican, anytime there's a miracle, in order to go to the sainthood, the Vatican must evaluate the miracles. You understand? So she got all these evidence that her back, this congenital disease, and the doctors and the Vatican will say, miracle. So that will make this dead strength that they pray to, it's a dead power of hell, what it is, not of Yahweh. Now this is coming out of the Catholic whorehouse. I want to show you now. I want to read some things now. It says here, quote, most Americans who pray for miracles ask for cures for themselves or for loved ones. Indeed, half of those polled, 50%, credit God with bringing. Do you all hear this? Listen now. Listen to this. Those that were polled, 50%, credit God with bringing back to life people who have been declared dead by medical authorities. 50% of those polls said that there was someone dead, they prayed, and God brought them back. Drunkards, pedophiles, perverts. Do you hear me? You hear me? They've been brought back from life. Today, in fact, not only the Vatican, but even some Muslims and Pentecostal groups have developed follow-up procedures to determine whether reported healings are fact and beyond medical explanation. So they all have gotten wise to it. They say, we've got to make sure that these things are actual and authentic. So even the Muslims and the Pentecostals, they're having follow-ups. They're having people to search the medical records and see if these things pre-existed before they were healed. Do you understand that? See, it's a wicked generation. It's always seeking after signs. I want to show you something. Look at this now. Quote, miracles are found in all the world's religions. Now that's the statement, isn't it? In every religion, as I said to you, miracles and signs, every God, they have always been performed. I had not read this before I said that, when I said it, because I know it's the truth. But in all religion, miracles are found. Look at this quote. In ancient India, in the ancient Middle East, miracles function as both signs and wonders. As wonders, they incite awe. As signs, they always signify the presence of some transcendental power. When Buddha dazzled his kinfolks by raising in the air, dividing his body into pieces, then rejoining them, he signified for all to see that he had achieved complete liberation from the iron law of karma. When the Prophet Muhammad produced water in the desert for his companions to drink, he demonstrated the compassion of Allah, the All-Merciful. And when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he signaled the power over death and the foreshadowing of his own resurrection. He also echoed the miracles worked by the earlier Hebrew prophets Elijah and Elisha, and set the pattern for the same miracles to be worked by the apostle Peter and Paul. Now this is a secular man writing. Do you understand? He wrote a book, Miracles or the World of Miracles. He goes on to say, quote, this is another testimony here. I want you to hear this. Now you hear this. For as long as she can remember, Angelia Bordo has been praying to, listen now, she has been praying to Francis Xavier Silas, a redemptorist priest whose bones lay buried in the parish at Gretna, Louisiana. In the summer of 1966, Angelia, now 70, was diagnosed with liver cancer. After exploratory surgery showed huge tumors massed throughout 90% of her organ, she was given 2 weeks to live. She looked like someone out of the concentration camps. Recall physician Dr. Alfred R. Ruffett Jr., now a retired professor from the Wake Forest School of Medicine. A very reputable school, isn't it? Sure it is. But Angelia prayed. Do you hear that? She prayed to Father Silas. His dead bones, that she prayed to the Father Silas, asking for time to raise her children. Almost immediately, Rufus noticed that the grapefruit-sized tumors had begun to shrink. A reversal, he says, could not be attributed to any rudimentary chemotherapy he had used. He said, it wasn't the chemotherapy. It was the most remarkable case I've ever been involved with, says Rufus. The following November, Angelia was on her feet caring for her kids. The Roman Catholic Church declared the cure a miracle. 2 weeks ago, Rufus and Birdhawk's family were in Rome for beatification of Father Silas. See, they must perform miracles in order, that's the truth, to be beatified in the Roman whorehouse. That's the system we see raised up today. These are mighty men of God. I believe they're mighty men of God too. But they're not the strength of Yahweh. They're not the testimony of Yahweh. Now, you pray into this man and you get a great healing, and they got records of that. Hallelujah, Yahweh. I want to read this one. A year ago, Tyler Clarinault shuffled to the altar in the gym of Park Crescent Assembly of God Church in Springfield, Missouri. It was, he thinks, probably the 200th time he had sought healing for malformity of his knee joints, and surgery had failed to correct. Suddenly, a group of about 40 Pentecostal teenagers encircled him and began to pray. Gradually, the whole congregation was raised to a prayerful roar. An hour later, when silence fell, a church volunteer pronounced that God had finally healed him, his legs. Shakenly, he stood up. All eyes on him, he began to do deep knee bends, something he had not done and accomplished in years. So he began to run slowly. I heard stories about people getting healed, says Tyler, 15. I thought it was pretty cool. But I didn't really know for sure until it happened to me. I can imagine what happened that day. Gals in their little pants and shorts. They praying under their God, their Pentecostal God. It was cool. That's what he said. Yahweh had done something miraculous. He wouldn't have said it was cool. For what an awesome Abba, sir. His hands are mighty. It happens in every circle. They're deceiving the masses of the people. The leaders, quote, the leaders of the Protestant Reformation. Listen to this now. Quote, the leaders of the Protestant Reformation reject the Catholic cult of the saints as pagan superstitions. But yet they follow the same tenets as the Catholic whorehouse. Sun worship. Jesus, they deny Yahweh. But the heir of the Reformation continued to believe that God shows special providence over the faithful. In effect, miracles by another name. Miracles by another name? Do you all hear that? That God shows special providence over his people. And so he permits miracles by another name. Visions and prophecy accomplish the waves of awakening and revival among American Protestants. Many new sects and movements, including, listen now, the Mormons, believe that God was and is restoring the church of the New Testament with all its signs and wonders. If individual believers could experience God for themselves, they could also experience his miraculous touch. But only in the last century, with the rise of Pentecostalism and Protestantism, demonstrates the miraculous power of Yahweh, of their God. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, Pentecostals believe they themselves can work as well as receive miracles, just like the apostles of Jesus. Now I'm reading, I'm quoting what they say. I'll read another testimony. It says, Shoshana, listen now. Shoshana Levine is a singer-songwriter from the liberal Jewish family of the West Coast. But for the last 10 years, she has also been a student of the Torah, of a member of the Chabad Lubavitch, a Hasidic group in Brooklyn, New York, and a devout believer in the power, listen to this now, she has been a believer in the devout power and the late Rabbi Menachem Mendel Shirsan. That's who she believed in, his power. Not the power of some God. Listen. Jewish woman, she says. In July 1993, Shoshana, mother, was diagnosed with stomach cancer and not expected to live. She was going to die. The day after she heard the news, Shoshana went to the Rabbi secret secretary with a letter asking Shirson for a blessing, a barucha. She was told to call back that afternoon and in the meantime to have her family put mezuzah throughout the house to do good deeds and light Shabbos candles. Her mother reluctantly did as her daughter instructed, writing several checks for charitable cause that afternoon. And that's what she did that afternoon. She wrote checks. She did what she called good deeds. Shoshana was told that the Rebbe had granted his blessing. 3 days later, when the doctors did biopsy on her mother, there were no signs of cancer. Someone's prayers were amazing, the doctor said. That they deny the power of Yahweh, of his HaMashiach. Do you understand this? Let me read a little more. It says this, of all the religious groups in the United States, survey shows Jews are the least likely to believe miracles. They don't believe miracles, those that call themselves Jews. As a great soul, Rabbi Shirsan belonged to a long line of Hasidic saints. According to the Shabbat philosophy, a Nabi can work miracles when he perceives that an illness or other misfortune is the will of God. In those cases, he can beseech God to change what he has will. More often, however, the Rabbi showed his followers how to use mezuzah or other artifacts of the orthodoxy observance to open the regular chambers of God's grace. Even after his death in 1994, do you hear me? Shirasand has remained a channel for those seeking miracles. His office seeks more than 1,000 letters requesting blessings each day. Now the man is dead. Mendahan Shirasand, he's dead. He's been dead. And yet the people still write for miracles from a dead patriarch, what they believe. This is this world. Gods of the world have powers to work miracles, and they perform them mightily. Let me read this one. Hashim Muhammad Kabana, a Sufi saint, a sheikh in the Nasqabana order of Islam, which traces his lineage back to Prophet Muhammad. Now 55, and head of an order in North America, he has an MD from Louvain University in Belgium. He relates his miracle story that occurred in 1971 when his own spiritual master, Sheikh Mohammed Nazim al-Hakouni, made a rare and unexpected visit to Kabina's home in Lebanon. He said to me, "I have received an inspiration from the change of our grandmaster that your father is going to die tonight at 7 p.m. I asked, "How do you know this?" "My father's an old man, but he's in good, excellent health." He said, "It is through our essence and the spiritual connection that has been passed over 1,000 years. It was 5 p.m, and he told me to call the family together and not to tell my father. 5 minutes before 7, my master came to my father's room. My father told the sheikh that he was in pain and his heart was failing. When the clock rings 7, he said, "My daddy died. He passed away." That's a tremendous sign of a profound prophet, isn't it? Yet has no understanding of the power of Yahweh, God's, and the spiritual powers of this world. They work miracles. Let nobody kid you. Nobody. In the Quran, the Prophet Muhammad reject every request to work miracles, saying that the Quran itself is a miracle. The only one is a Muslim in need. Here's another testimony. Maharaji Krishan Rek, that's a tough one there, Rasgotra, I hope it's right. Anyway, a retired foreign secretary of India. Remember the precise day almost 30 years ago when he became a devotee of the Sant Sai Baba, India's most celebrated living saint. Over the years, the government officially often witnessed Baba work in signature miracles. What are you saying? That they actually saw this signature saint, this Baba. They knew of the miracles that had been performed throughout India, and the government officials actually witnessed the miracles of this Baba. Producing out of air mounds of Vihuta, sacred ash, that devotees credit with healing properties. But it was in 1986... that Rasgutta experienced Baba powerful firsthand after suffering a heart attack. Ragusra lay in the hospital recovery room. Among the hovering doctors and nurses, he saw Baba. So he had this contingency of doctors around him. In the midst of that, he saw Baba, this patriot devil. Though the saint was 1,000 miles away, when physician told him he needed bypass surgery to avoid a fatal attack, Ragasta consulted Baba in person, who told him he did not eat it. Ragasta skipped surgery, and today, at 75 years old, he plays 18 holes of golf regularly. "I have total faith in Baba," said Ragasta. "Whatever he says comes about. Whether you are with him, you will feel you're shedding something and acquiring a new kind of life. Now, these are God's saints, whether you believe it or not. These are powers of hell, and they can't work the miracles. For most of the three millenniums, India has been a land of living saints. It is also a land near. It is also a land of nearly countless local gods and goddesses. Of 3 million of them, poor, that's a lot. By one recent estimate, all gods, however, are but different forms in a singular absolute Brahma, which is the ground Atman of everyone who exists, just as Hindu gods can descend in human forms. Do you hear that? So the Hindu saints can achieve godlike consciousness. That's what this doctrine is teaching today, this Christianity, this man-child doctrine. Though through religious meditation and yogic practice, the practitioners can descend his borrowed divinity. Given this view, the line between human and divine is not as distinct as it is in the West. I believe that. Because anything that is divine is devilish. It is the power of divination. That's all it is. That's why that word should never be used to express Yahweh. He's not divine. He's not a divinator. He doesn't use divination. Everything he does is by his power. Now, read that to simply shows the fact that there are many miracles that are taking place in every kind of religion. But this is what the man says here. It's amazing what he says here. He said, in any case, he's writing this article, miracles alone are never a substitute for faith. Now, the man doesn't even know Yahweh. He's writing that. It's never a substitute for faith. Miracles never strengthen one's heart. It never makes one believe Yahweh. Because there are countless miracles in the scripture and they don't believe. But yet he's going to allow the deceiving lying wonders and the miracles of hell to deceive those that are not the remnant of Yahweh. We trust him because we know that his word is a living word. And Yahshua HaMashiach is the mighty power of Yahweh that has been worked in flesh. And we have that testimony. And that's our strength. And we don't need nothing else. We have that testimony because it is the living power of his Torah. And that is the truth. I'm going to stop there. May Yahweh bless you. May he strengthen your hand. May cause your heart to rejoice. I hope that you got a little something out of that. I know I did. I love his truth. Hallelujah. It's good to have men that can teach us the truth. And show us the truth. Hallelujah. And I won't reject that either. I don't care how others feel, but I won't reject that. May he give you strength. May he love you. You that are listening by the live stream today, may Yahweh bless you. May he strengthen your heart. We do pray that the broadcast was a great blessing to you and has given you strength and has helped you in a mighty way. We bless you for that today. We thank you for your visitation. And we bless you all. May he strengthen your homes and all that you do this day. May he bless you all today, saints. Keep the faith. Trust in him. That's all I want us to trust in. I don't care what happens. And I mean that. I make analogies. I say things. I don't care what others do. I'm going to serve Yahweh. I love my wife. I don't care what she does. But I say that as far as me and my house, we're going to serve Yahweh. She's going to obey the tenets of Yahweh's truth as long as she lives with me. And she want to go some other way, she can go any way she wants to. Well, that hurt you, sure to hurt me. But that's all right. I'm not going to give up on him. I'm going to press on. Because I know what time we're in. I know what hour we're in. I know this is a reality. You can be stupid all you want to and think it isn't. I'm not here to live for Sister Robbins. I'm here to live for him. I'm not here to live for you. I'm here to live for him. You understand that? That's what I'm here to do. And I'm walking in the truth. If I was in the truth, he wouldn't be here. Then you better flee. Then you're a flat-out fool, all right? I tell you the truth. If there's something that no one knows the truth but you, lies from hell. Someone that knows the truth. And when I speak to you, it's the truth, validated by Scripture. Hallelujah, Yahweh. And these men, they call themselves workers of Yahweh's miracles. They're workers of deceit and lies. It doesn't endeavor those to Yahweh in any way. It doesn't cause their hearts to love Yahweh one bit. They're just seeking for something for their own flesh. If I suffer with him, I reign with him. And Shaul had to leave his precious Epaphroditus, and they were there sick. And there these fools that would say that they had demons, lies from hell. If that had been the case, Shaul could have cast a demon. He let this little ignorant woman follow him for a few days and say, you're just disturbing me. Come out of her in the name of Yahshua HaMashiach. And the spirit came out. Don't tell me Shaul couldn't do that. They're stupid. They're ignorant. They don't know the truth. Get folks and wrestle them down and put the headlock on them and cast them. There's no casting out no demon. You can't bind no devil. The scripture said that when the gatherers say no man can bind them. They bind them in feathers and nothing. Scripture tells in Gileana said the Malach of the kingdom shall come down and he shall bind Shatan. You're not going to bind him. You just can't. You resist his power. You submit to the law or the Torah of Yahweh. You resist him. He flees. You're not going to bind him. What you bind in the Shemayim, it should be bound on earth. When you bind his Torah, bind your neck. You bind the laws of Yahweh. You bind the mothering nurturing of Yahweh in your heart. That's what you bind. You can't bind him. You resist him. Say, devil, you fool. Go. You're not going to bind him because he's the God of this world. He has power. He has a season. Yahshua, did he do it? When he did, come on, say, did he do it when he talked to him? No, he didn't bind him. He said, man, I don't live by that church. He lives by every word that preaches. He lives by the Torah. Is that so? Come on, let me show you something. Showed him all the. He took him up to the mighty the temple, as they would say. The place where he had his stronghold. Showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Said, if you bow down, I give it to you. He said, you're a fool, devil. And even after all that experience, the Melechim had to come and minister unto HaMashiach. These fools, you're not going to bind him. Hallelujah. That's just like a big bear. You won't have a big bear standing right there. You just, eagle mess with me. I got him. That's what it is. Nothing he can do. He can't touch the people of Yahweh. And that's the truth. Let nobody kid you. There are a lot of crazy doctrine. Christendom, I'm just telling you, it is a pagan form of religion. It is not, it is one of the newest doctrines or the newest religions upon the face of the earth. Oh, you got these little metaphors of religion stressed by, but it is one of the newest ones, of what they call the big three. It is. HaMashiach never came to establish what we call Christianity today. He came to strengthen the Torah, the truth of Yahweh. We're Messianic. We follow Messiah because he did everything to please Yahweh. And we're going to do that too. May Yahweh bless you. Come on, Brother Pat. Now, I don't care if y'all don't like me, don't love me. That's all right. You don't even love yourself. How do I know that? Because unless you can love yourself, that's the only way you can love someone else. So you don't even love yourself, so that doesn't bother me. I don't care if your sons, your daughters, I don't care if they don't love me, that doesn't make any difference. I don't care if you don't love me. Period. The wife, the husband, makes no difference. Huh? In order for you to love someone else, the scripture tells you to love your neighbors, you love yourself. So if you don't even love yourself, how can you love me? And I have no problem with that. I'm not offended at that. Not one bit at all. May Yahweh bless you. May he give your heart strength. Let us stand to our feet. And I'm still happy. I'm happy. Come on, Brother Patrick. You that are listening, we sing this to you. May Yahweh bless your hearts today as you join with us.
Be loved, share it among us. Let there be love in our lives. May your love, sweetness us, goes us your way. Do or right, give us a friend, understanding, a brotherly love that is real. So let there be love, share among us. Let there be other.
Come on, grab your neighbor's hand and sing that. Come on.
So let there be love, share it among them. Let there be love in our lives. May now your love, sweet as ours, goes us your way to arise. Give us a friend, understanding, a brotherly love that is real. So let there be love shared among us. Let there be.
Ah, come on and look in your neighbor's eyes and sing that. Come on.
So let there be love shared among us. Let there be our love in our lives. May now your love, sweetest house, goes us your way to arise. Give us a fresh understanding, a brotherly love that It is real. So let them be loved. Share it among us. Let them be us.
Come on one more time, every heart.
So let there be love. Share it among us. Let them be us. In our lives, may now your love sweep this house, cause us your way to arise. Give us a fresh understanding of brotherly love. It is real, so let there be love shared among us. Let there be love.
For this day we do bless you, Yahweh. We bless you for the preciousness of Yahshua HaMashiach. The visitation and the power of your Ruach are in the midst. Bless those that have listened today. Give them great strength in their hearts and cause them to rejoice in the fullness of the knowledge and revelation of truth. We ask you to help us and to touch us all. Above all men, I need you, Yahweh. I need your strength. Touch every heart. Heal everyone. Touch every body. Touch everyone that has a great desire to bless you. And give us all strength and that precious oneness and the true love of HaMashiach, that we may be knitted together and the perfect love of our Abba. We ask all things in Yahshua HaMashiach's mighty name. And all the saints said, Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh.